I hope that you have enjoyed studying through this psalm. I have greatly enjoyed the opportunity to really just take it slow, and you could teach through this whole psalm in just a couple of lessons, but we have just taken it slow and really chewing on the precious truth that God has given us in this single psalm, and I hope that it's been a blessing to you as much as it's been a blessing to me, and we've definitely learned, as we've studied through this portion of Scripture, the importance of developing an eternal perspective. As we began the psalm, of course, we know that he starts out by telling us not to fret because of evildoers, neither be thou envious against the workers of iniquity. But then we find that God will give us a number of instructions in the first section of Psalm 37. He teaches us in verse number 3 and verse number 5 the importance of trusting in him. Trust in the Lord. It's such a simple statement, but oh, how important it is that we would learn to trust him and that we would trust him more and more. He is trustworthy. He will never fail you. He never has. And what a great reminder. He then, in verse number 4, says, delight thyself also in the Lord. And I'm so thankful that God in his grace and his mercy has revealed himself to us. And he desires for us to enter into his presence and to delight in him. And the songwriter said, he, speaking of the Lord, is my all in all. And I like that summary, and certainly that should be our perspective. In verse number 5, commit thy way unto the Lord. And so often in life, and we are guilty of it as well, that we will try to take control over our own lives, over our own direction, and we think that we know best, but we find here that we are instructed to commit our way, our lives, unto the Lord. He then tells us this in verses 7 and 9, rest in the Lord. Rest in the Lord. And what peace he gives. We dealt with that a little bit on Sunday afternoon. Emmanuel, God with us, and spoke a little bit about that wonderful, precious truth of Matthew 1. But we find here in the text of Scripture, he tells us that we're to rest in the Lord. And then in verse number 8, cease from anger and forsake wrath. And what a great truth that God has given us, as we could find that it is possible that we would respond to some of these things that are mentioned in chapter 37 of the book of Psalms with being angry and having a response of anger and wrath. But he says, cease from anger and forsake wrath. We're reminded throughout this portion of Scripture of the existence of the wicked and of the opposition that we will face. But we are reminded that our God has a plan. Our God is in control. Our God makes no mistakes, and he is on his throne. I'm so thankful that he has a plan and that he protects his children. We really looked last week at verse number 16, and we dealt with the subject matter of when less is more was the title for that message. And just looking at the philosophy of the world versus the perspective of God's people. And really, in verse number 16, we saw there was a shift, if you will, as you study Psalm 37, where the Bible begins to remind the people of God about the work that God does in our lives. And it told us in verse number 16, a little that a righteous man hath is better than the riches of many wicked. And you begin to think about the blessings of the righteous in this really subtle shift that begins in verse number 16. We then come to verse number 17, and we'll focus upon this verse of Scripture this evening. And we find that the Bible says, for the arms of the wicked shall be broken. But then notice this wonderful truth. But the Lord upholdeth the righteous. And I've used that phrase at the end of verse number 17 for the title this evening, the Lord upholdeth the righteous. We see, and that will be the focus of our message this evening, that latter part of verse number 17. But I want you to notice, just continuing by way of introduction, the beginning of verse number 17, where the Bible says that the arms of the wicked shall be broken. And we find that God will triumph. He is going to conquer. He's going to rule. He currently is in control. We find that even as we looked last week, a couple of weeks ago, as to the verse number 13, the Lord shall laugh at him, speaking about this wicked that are plotting against the just. And we notice this in chapter number 2 of the book of Psalms as well. But we find that the Bible tells us that the arms of the wicked shall be broken. But I want to focus this evening on the latter part of the verse because I believe that it will encourage us this evening. But the Lord upholdeth the righteous. This evening, just a couple of thoughts. Number one, rejoice because the Lord upholdeth you. Rejoice in this promise this evening. See, the reality as we look at this verse of Scripture, we'd be reminded this evening that God is capable. He has the ability. The word capable means this, having the ability, fitness, or quality necessary to do or achieve a specific thing. Now think about that definition of that word capable. And when we look at this verse of Scripture where the Bible says, but the Lord upholdeth the righteous. He has the ability. He has the ability to do or achieve a specific thing, and that is upholding the righteous. And I'm thankful this evening and I'm rejoicing because the Lord upholdeth me. And as we think about the righteous, and if you've trusted the Lord Jesus Christ, we understand as we study the whole of Scripture, it's not talking about our own righteousness, it's talking about that imputed righteousness, right? For God hath made him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. And I can stand and say, I'm part of the redeemed, I'm righteous, his righteousness is imputed upon me, I've been declared righteous, and the Bible gives us this wonderful promise that He, the Lord, upholds us. He has the ability, He is capable of doing this. It's not just some statement that we find that God has given, and there's no indication within the Scripture that He has the ability or the capability of doing it. We find that as we study the Word of God, that indeed God is able. And He's given us this wonderful promise. We find that He says, as you notice in the text of Scripture, the word Lord is all capitalized. And we've made this reference before, but this is referring to Jehovah, the proper name of God, the self-existent one, the one who has all power and all authority. We begin to think about God and begin to think about how the Lord has revealed Himself to us in His precious Word. And then we begin to think about this wonderful promise that He's given us in this single verse of Scripture, that He upholdeth the righteous. That word upholdeth means this, to sustain or to support. You ever feel like I just can't do it? You feel like, you remember Moses? He's trying to hold his hands up, and when they were up, they had victory, but when they were down, they were suffering defeat. And we find that God used others to be able to encourage and help him in that situation. But we find here that as we look at this promise, that in times of adversity and difficulty, when all of these things that are being revealed to us in the text of Scripture, and again, it can be overwhelming when we think about the evildoers and all of their plans and their plots and what they want to do and the opposition and the adversity that we face, but we do not focus on all of those things. We focus on these promises that God has given us, and He says, the Lord upholdeth the righteous. He sustains us. He supports us. And we find that, of course, we need to have and find our strength in the Lord. We find that the Bible tells us, be strong in the Lord and the power of His might. We find that often throughout the Scriptures. In fact, Paul prays for believers in Ephesus and also in Colossae, specifically that they would be renewed in their strength and their inner man. And we understand that it is the Lord that upholds us, that He sustains us, and He supports us. When we face that opposition, when we face that adversity, how thankful we ought to be that the Almighty God, the one who has all power and all authority, that it is He that has given us this promise, and He has the ability to uphold you. The Lord upholdeth the righteous. I just can't do it. We can't in our own strength. Sometimes we try in our own strength. But we find that the Bible tells us, and we ought to rejoice greatly because of this wonderful promise. Not only should we rejoice because of this wonderful promise, but I want you to think about this as we look at this and just meditate upon this thought this evening. Not only rejoice, but rest because the Lord upholdeth you. Rest. You know, we already mentioned by way of introduction, the Bible told us in verse number 7 that we're to rest in the Lord and wait patiently for Him. We begin to think about that idea of resting in the Lord, and we understand that as we begin to consider this directive that God has given, it means to be silent, it means to be still. It carries with it the idea of waiting. And the reality is that we live in a society, we've been conditioned in this society that we're living in to not really do so much of the resting part. That be still and know that I am God, that's really hard for a lot of us. We live in such a fast-paced environment. We had a couple of errands to run today, and Joseph was helping me with a couple of things, and he was out with me. And, you know, you're sitting at the light, and somebody is sitting at the light, and the light barely turns green, and I mean, they're on their horn, like, come on, come on, come on. And in this particular case, it was the turning left lane, and Joseph's like, man, people are so impatient. And we live, and we're in this fast-paced world, in this area where things are so quick, so fast-paced. And the reality is that when we think about this promise this evening, that the Lord upholdeth the righteous, not only should it cause us to rejoice, but to rest. And again, we find that He had given us that instruction in verse number 7 that we're to rest, to be still and to wait, to be silent. And we understand this evening that now as we look at this simple promise, and the reality is that when we think about these promises of God's Word, we often, you can read through Psalm 37 in just a couple of minutes. And sometimes we just kind of go over things and we just kind of brush over it and we just, yep, it says that, and we go on our way. But when we just take a moment and meditate, say, the Lord, He told us that the arms of the wicked shall be broken, but the Lord upholdeth the righteous. These promises that God gives us within this text of Scripture, and of course the whole of Scripture, we find that these simple promises of God's Word should bring in the life of every believer great comfort. It should bring comfort in our lives. We live in a fast-paced world, as I mentioned a moment ago, but we also live in a world that is full of anxiousness and this lack of comfort. But we look at the Word of God, and God has given us these promises that should comfort our hearts. And we looked on Sunday, let not your heart be troubled, right? And God's given us these wonderful promises. And this evening, when we think about the Almighty God upholding me as His child, He's sustaining me, He's supporting me, it ought to cause me to rest in His promise. No doubt, as we look at the truth of this verse of Scripture and begin to unpackage this truth this evening and think about our own lives, and as we go through life and we face the adversity and the difficulty and the opposition that we face, and when we seem like, man, there's no way that seems to make sense, that we must recognize that it's the Lord that's upholding us. That it is God's strength that is made perfect in my weakness and in your weakness. We find that Paul received that wonderful promise in 2 Corinthians chapter number 12, that he gave that truth that, listen, God's strength is made perfect in our weakness. But I want you to think about the Apostle Paul just a little bit, and I want you to think about how God, we could look at David, and we could look at his testimony, and we could look at Paul, and actually, since we're right here in the book of Psalms, why don't we look at David's testimony first, and then we'll go over and look at the testimony of Paul. But notice over in Psalm 34, if you will, just a page or two over maybe in your Bibles, but I want you to think about this truth that the Lord upholdeth, sustains, and supports even in the midst of that adversity. Remember, he talked about the wicked plotting against and all that we would deal with, but we find that here in Psalm 34, David is rejoicing, and notice a couple of things that he says. Notice in verse number 6, the Bible says this, "This poor man cried, and the Lord heard him and saved him out of all his troubles." Isn't that a wonderful truth? That's a testimony that David's giving. that the Lord saved him out of all of his troubles. He mentions this when we see in verse number 17, the righteous cry. Remember, we're talking about the righteous right here in Psalm 37 in verse number 17, but the Lord upholdeth the righteous. And here in verse 17 of Psalm 34, the Bible says, the righteous cry, and the Lord heareth and delivereth them out of all their troubles. Isn't that a blessing? I'm thankful that God worked in David's heart and David's life, and David had the testimony personally where he could speak about him crying unto the Lord and the fact that God heard him and the fact that God saved him out of his troubles. But David understood this great truth of God's word, that our God is no respecter of persons. And understanding that God is no respecter of persons, he says and declares to us in verse number 17 that the righteous cry, and the Lord heareth and delivereth them out of all their troubles. And that's a wonderful truth of God's word. David gives testimony of his own personal experience, but then he says, listen, this is true for any of God's people. God will hear you and God will deliver you. Notice in verse 19, many are the afflictions of the righteous. How many say that's my life verse right now, right? Many are the afflictions of the righteous. We can deal with seasons in our life where there's much opposition and difficulty, but notice the latter part of verse number 19, but the Lord delivereth him out of them all. See, here's the amazing thing. I think in most of our lives, in my life, and I would say in most of our lives, we have a difficulty with understanding what deliverance looks like. I always have this idea that deliverance looks like what I want it to look like. But deliverance doesn't always look the way that I want it to look. I've mentioned before that God can deliver us from anything, from everything. But oftentimes God delivers us through something instead of from something. And in so doing, he teaches us valuable lessons about who he is, and he uses us to bring honor and glory to his precious name. And what a blessing that is. Begin to think about the deliverance, and obviously we can read of the truth of Hebrews chapter number 11, and as we look at Hebrews chapter number 11, we can see all of these, this person by faith, and this person by faith, and all that was accomplished, but you get to the end of Hebrews chapter number 11, and you find that there were others that did not have the same deliverance of being delivered like Daniel was from the den of lions. Or like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego were from the fiery furnace. You had people that died. Didn't mean that God wasn't working in their lives. It didn't mean that God didn't have a plan and a purpose. And we see how that God works through all of those circumstances. And ultimately, if we are to understand the whole of Scripture, death is just my doorway to my Savior. To be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. And we find that wonderful truth. Look over at 2 Timothy chapter number 4. And I want you to notice this as we think about this truth that the Lord upholdeth you, and how it should cause us tonight to rejoice and to rest in our God. He's able. And he's given us this promise, and we need to trust him. We need to believe him. We need to exercise faith in what he has said. We find that the truth of the simple thought of what it is to have faith is to take God at his word, to trust what he has said. And he said that he would uphold us and sustain us and support us. And so we need to trust him to do so. We need to believe that he will. Paul is writing here to Timothy in 2 Timothy in chapter number 4. And of course, so often we mention the truth of verses 6 and 7. And Paul is ready to depart. He's finished his course. And what a joy to think about the testimony of the Apostle Paul at the end of his life to finish, to have that confidence that he's completed what God has given him to complete. Oh, I trust that that would be the testimony of every one of us this evening, that we come to the end of our lives, that we'd be able to say, I finished, and I finished with joy. I've done exactly what God has called me to do with my life. Notice in verse 17, though, what he says. Well, let me back up. In verse number 14, the Bible says, Alexander the coppersmith did me much evil. The Lord reward him according to his works, of whom be thou ware also, for he hath greatly withstood our words. And my first answer, no man stood with me, but all men forsook me. I pray God that it may not be laid to their charge. Notice what he says in verse 17. Notwithstanding, the Lord stood with me. Notice what he says, and strengthened me. that by me the preaching might be fully known and that all the Gentiles might hear, and I was delivered out of the mouth of the lion. And I want you to just notice what he says in verse 17. We'll read verse number 18 in just a moment. But he says that the Lord stood with me. Notice in verse 16, he says, listen, at the first answer, no man stood with me. But the Lord stood with me. We mentioned the word uphold means to sustain, to support. He says, not only did the Lord stand with me, but he strengthened me. See, God had a purpose for Paul and he has a purpose for you. And God will sustain us. He will support us. He will strengthen us for that which he's called us to do. And notice what he says. He stood with me. The Lord stood with me and strengthened me, that by me the preaching might be fully known and that all the Gentiles might hear. And I was delivered out of the mouth of the lion. You know, Paul dealt with some real opposition. I mean, he dealt with some significant opposition everywhere he went, every place he was going to preach the word of God. Opposition seemed to just follow him. But he said, the Lord stood with me. Notice in verse 18, and the Lord shall deliver me from every evil work and will preserve me unto his heavenly kingdom, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. See, Paul recognized there as he says that in verse 18, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. My life is to bring glory to his name. And God will support us. He will sustain us. He will strengthen us. And we see this evening this wonderful promise where the Bible says that the Lord upholdeth the righteous. Tonight, I hope you'd rejoice in this simple promise of God's word, and that as you begin to, listen, I know you've read Psalm 37 before, probably scores of times, but when we really just take a full service to really focus upon this truth and to bring it to the front of our minds to say, listen, God has given me this wonderful promise in the midst of all of these things that are going on, in the midst of all the opposition, that God would give us this word. Word that he upholdeth the righteous. He sustains us. He supports us. He is my strength. And he did it for David. We read his testimony in Psalm 34. What a great testimony it is. And David recognized it's not just me, David, that he'll do this for, but the righteous cry and the Lord hears and delivers. Paul says, listen, God stood with me and God strengthened me so that this task could be completed. This evening, not only should we rejoice, but we should rest. Listen, who better to uphold us than the Lord? Aren't you glad that you don't have to uphold yourself? I'm glad as the pastor, I don't have to uphold you. Amen? I can't uphold myself. How am I going to uphold you? God's given me a lot of responsibilities as a pastor. Feed the flock of God. So many things that God has given me responsibility. But he's not given me the responsibility to uphold you. God says he'll do that. And that's precious. Because God is capable. He'll never fail. You say, man, I'm going through it. It's been a season. The Lord upholdeth the righteous. I hope tonight that you can rejoice in that. I hope that you can rest in that. Claim the promise. Prove God. Say, God, you said that you would uphold me, sustain me, support me, strengthen me. God, you know what I'm dealing with, and I'm trusting you. I'm believing you. I'm resting in you. Let's pray. Father, we love you. How we thank you for loving us. Thank you for the Word of God. So often, if we're not careful, we can read promises and read chapters and verses and keep moving on. As we've been purposed here on Wednesday evenings for 8 or 9 weeks now, studying through this psalm, to just slow down, chew on. I pray, God, that these truths of your word would deeply impact us as your people. God, as we deal with adversity and opposition and difficulty, that our focus would be upon the promises that you've given us. And what a precious promise has been brought before us this evening. God, we're so thankful that you're able. You have the ability to uphold us, to sustain us, to support us, to strengthen us. God, I pray that as we look at the testimony of David and of Paul, you'd help us tonight to be reminded of the truth that you are no respecter of persons. You have a plan and a purpose for our lives, and that you will uphold us. God, I pray that you'd bless our time of prayer. We thank you for the privilege of prayer. We thank you that you promised that you'd hear us and that you would answer, that you would show us great and mighty things which we know not. Lord, we thank you for the missionaries and for the opportunity to hear of the work that you're doing in and through their lives. We pray that you'd bless now, and we'll thank you for it. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.